Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Badass Women's Hour with Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell and Emma Sexton on Talk Radio.
Femba can go to hell.
Topical talk, outspoken opinion and inspirational conversation on the Hour of Badass Power.
Underwear, armpit hair, many imitators but no one compares.
Minter, Campbell and Sexton are your all-new Saturday night super squad. Badass Women's Hour on Talk Radio. She'll get you talking.
One, two, three!
Welcome to the Badass Women's Hour. Three women, 1 hour, all the opinions we can muster and a whole load of badass here on Talk Radio. I'm Harriet Minter and I'm joined by my co-hosts Natalie Campbell and Emma Sexton. And we're here with you for the next hour talking about all the things that have really jumped our interest this week. So we'll be looking at Rob Kardashian and his Twitter meltdown. We're also going to be talking about ASOS and photoshopping. Should they be doing it? What do you think? Plus, we've got the fabulous June Sarpong joining us, and we're going to be answering all your problems in our Badass Balls Up. But we're starting off, as we always do, with a news review. The stuff that's really got our goat this week or made us think. And I love our first story because it's just joyous and happiness and it is literally rainbows. Emma, tell us what it is.
Yeah, so Pride is this weekend, which is very exciting. But the reason I wanted to talk about it on the show this week is I feel like this is for the first time ever. It's like massively on my radar in a really positive way. I'm seeing it everywhere. There's been the tube signs. There's lots of big ad campaigns. Brands seem to be on board in a way that they had never have been before. And it just feels like this really mainstream, lovely celebration. And I don't know, yeah, I just wanted to see what if you felt the same about Pride being a bigger thing this year or whether that was just me kind of.
So I've definitely noticed it. I've noticed it in the tube stations with the rainbow colours up the escalators and I've seen the adverts for it. And it has felt really, to me, being in London for this weekend, for Pride weekend, has felt like there's just so much energy and joy and enthusiasm around the whole parade. And I've sort of felt that in years before around the parade itself and through my gay friends and what they're doing. But this week, I was just really like, I just feel like it's everywhere. But then I did stop and think, have we commercialised something that actually shouldn't be commercialised? I don't know. Nat, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm always in the frame of mind that as soon as brands recognise that there's merriment going on somewhere, a merriment at volume, that they find a way to chuck money and commercialise it. And I was reading some of the articles this week in terms of a backlash. So the Pride in London organisers actually had a bit of a brain fart and they produced a whole series of posters that weren't actually speaking to the LGBTQ community. They were speaking to straight people. I'm doing quotes, straight people. And one of the posters actually says, being homophobic is so gay. And rightly so, members of the gay community came out and said, actually, you know, using the term gay as a slur, even though you're playing with the terminology, that's just stupid. It's a dumb thing to do. And if you think that's how you get more people to buy into coming along to the festival, then we want no part of this. And I think this is always the challenge when you try to make something mainstream in mainstream messaging, you mess up. don't always try and appeal to the mainstream. Focus on the people that you created the actual event for.
And also, it's probably a sign of not enough diversity in the room of the marketing or ad agency that came up with that campaign. That happens all the time. But I know there's always loads of controversy about brands getting on board, but I feel that it's really important that they do, because brands and advertising, whether we like it or not, they do change culture, they change perception. And if these brands get on board and make it just a really mainstream, you know, 10 years ago, brands would not have got involved in Pride in the way that they are now, because they'd be a bit nervous about what the church might say, all of that. And I just love how there feels like there's is dichotomy the right word, where we've got lots of people in power, you know, here and in the States, kind of trying to take us all backwards 1,000 years. But yet, as a community, as individuals, we're not really letting that happen. And it's all like rising up. So what we're getting on the media versus what's going on in our day to day is a contradiction. And I'm all for that.
I love that contradiction too. And I really love the kind of the grassroots activism that is Pride. But I think you're right now, which is we've taken it to the point where actually we're using Pride, A, to talk to straight people, and B, that we're forgetting that it comes from a place of actually anger and violence and oppression. It comes from a place where people did this in defiance of what was safe and secure and actually risking their own safety and their own lives. And I think there needs to be, in when we talk about Pride, when we talk about actually all of these kind of, I guess, festivals that have been created to celebrate maybe a kind of niche area of our culture, then we need to talk about them with the history in place. Mm-hmm. So we understand the history of it
exactly.
as well.
The same. It's the same with the Notting Hill Carnival and others. And I think ultimately it comes down to the people that created the festival to hold everyone else to account. Because if you're on the outside and it wasn't necessarily created for you, and again, I'm doing created with you know, quoted fingers here, you don't know what you don't know. And we had this conversation at our event this week. You just don't know what you don't know. So I would expect that people that are going to Pride that have been celebrating it for years hold brands to account. If you think people are, and I want to use the term bastardizing, if you think people are taking your the thing you've created and turning it into something that doesn't pay homage or show respect to the heritage, call them out.
Great idea. Call them out. So our second story this week is going in a completely different, fairly strange direction. It's been all over the papers. It has been all over social media. In fact, that's where it started. Now, what has grabbed your attention?
So just to give some context here, I was minding my own business this week, getting on a train, and I saw Rob Kardashian trending on Twitter. Now, some of you will or won't know, Rob Kardashian is the younger brother of the Kardashian sisters. So Kim, Kourtney, Khloe. He has been in a relationship with a woman called Blac Chyna, who is the ex-girlfriend of someone another one of the sisters is dating. Anyway, they have a heated relationship. They have a child together called Dream. The baby is maybe 4 months old. They have a TV show in the US called Rob and Chyna. So I looked into what this trending situation was all about, and Rob, and I was watching this happen in real time, started posting messages talking about the fact that he had paid for China's new boobs and he'd paid for cars and she'd been sleeping with lots of different men. And then he posted naked photos of her body that she had sent to him, including her boobs and her vagina. And So in the moment of it, you think, oh my God, this is some crazy US housewivesy, Kardashian-y car crash thing that you can't stop looking at. And then I thought, if this had happened to my friend and a boyfriend, you know, a partner or anyone had said or post, you know, created this narrative about how horrible they were and they had a child together and then posted their vagina or vice versa, their penis, I would be calling and being like, this person needs help, and I would consider prosecuting.
Well, it's prosecutable. It's revenge porn. That is now actually illegal. It's illegal to do that. And I think the thing that really just horrified me when I saw this was, I thought, you have no concept of this woman as a person. Mm. So he was talking about her in terms of the things he'd bought her as though him spending money on her somehow guaranteed him some right to her affection. I mean, I don't know what goes on in their relationship. That's between them. But that in itself is really dehumanizing. Yeah. And then to actually take pictures that people have sent you is not just actually scary for her. It's scary for women everywhere. Yeah. So what this behavior does is it's designed to shut women up and make sure we stay quiet and we don't do anything offensive because you guys have some hold over us. And it infuriates me.
See, I didn't take it like that. Obviously it's out of order, and it was quite funny, that mentality of, well, if I spend 250 grand on you, then surely you must stay in love with me and not cheat on me, which is, yeah, a mindset that I can't get my head round. But equally, you know, what I saw is just basically somebody who's like, he's really heartbroken and he's really emotional about it, and he's got absolutely no emotional intelligence, and he's just done what I'm sure all of us have wanted to do when we are like angry and really, really heartbroken and really sad, and that's just to try and hurt that person. The trouble is, we have social media now, so all these things that he's done to obviously really hurt her because he's hurting and he's just really sad. And it's like, that's a really tricky thing with social media now, with those like those spur of the moments, like rage of anger, and you've now got this public outlet. Rather than you just seething in your house at home, you can actually post this stuff online, and it just, oh, it's
so I'm going to be a walking contradiction now and just add in two more points. There's another side of me that thought Kris Jenner has created this whole thing because no one's particularly interested in the Kardashians right now, and every time we, you know, it goes quiet, something else happens, whether it's Lamar Odom, which was Chloe his ex-husband taking an overdose, or Caitlyn, or anything else. So there's that. But equally, I was laughing at a meme my friend posted about, you know, if you had a whole load of sisters and some chick was, you know, doing this to your brother, you'd be taking your earrings off and you'd be at her front door. And I know for a fact, if there was a girl, well, not now, I'm a professional, back in the day, if there was a girl that was doing this to my brother, I'd be outside her
front
door.
Hang on, they should be at their brother.
I agree, Emma. That should be what stops this happening.
Sisterhood, hello.
Where is Kim holding back Rob right now? That's what I want to know. So our final story this week is ASOS. So the fashion retailer has come in for lots of kind of praise this week because it's actually done something very quietly that a few people noticed and started calling out on Twitter. So if you look at its bikini and swimsuit models, you will see that they are sporting stretch marks. So rather than the traditional approach to bikini modelling, which is to airbrush out those stretch marks, ASOS have just left them in. They've said that's part of a woman's body, it should just be there. And they got a lot of praise for it. And I really want to praise them because, you know, I don't like the idea that we're photoshopping out parts, natural parts of a woman's body. But they still have a load of people on their payroll that are paid to photoshop those models to make them look as good as they possibly can. Is this really enough? Is this really progress?
Yes, it is. Absolutely, it's progress. Because the thing is, we are bombarded by images all the time. On Instagram, everything's so well crafted and well taken with filters. And then everything that we see in kind of fashion or billboards has all been retouched. That we don't. When we see something, somebody looking normal, we're absolutely horrified. So ASOS, you think the amount of people who look at ASOS, right? This stuff infiltrates your brain, whether you like it. It changes your eye, whether you like it or not. It's all subliminal. So if you're scrolling through ASOS and you are seeing women who have not been retouched and you start to see just normal bodies, you're going to be a lot more accepting of normal people and ultimately your own body.
Do you think that's right though, Nat? Can one fashion retailer really have that amount of power? Because I'm still like, come on, they're all still 12 and they're still a size 6.
They're not 12 and a size 6. This is where I'm going to defend ASOS. I personally shop on their website. I see women that look like me. I see women of all shapes and sizes. I love the fact they're leaving stretch marks in because we all have them. I have lots of them. I can't airbrush them out. I think it's a step in the right direction. It's not far enough. We should just be leaving people exactly how they look, because that's what the clothes look like when they end up on our bodies anyway. So it's a true reflection of the reality.
Yeah, great point. So what do you think? Do you think that they are doing the right thing? Do you think models should be beautiful? Is that what they're there for? Or have they not gone far enough? Also, ASOS or ASOS? Which one are you?
ASOS.
I'm an ASOS too. But, you know, tell us, which one are you? And what do you think? Is photoshopping, is it useful? Does it help? Are those models actually changing how you see clothes? Coming up in our next section, we have got the fabulous June Sarpong here.
Juicy June!
We're so excited. It's basically our girl crush. We're going to be talking to her probably about T4 because we can't not. We're going to be talking about being the face of youth TV. We're also going to be talking about her new book and what she's up to now.
Badass Women's Hour with Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell and Emma Sexton on Talk Radio. She'll get you talking.
Welcome to the Badass Women's Hour. Three women, one hour, all the opinions we can muster and a whole load of badass here on Talk Radio. I'm Harriet Minter and I'm joined by my co-hosts Natalie Campbell and Emma Sexton. And this week we are super excited because we are joined by the amazing Jun Sapong.
Welcome! Woo! Woo! I'll give you your 50 quid later.
Thanks, Jun. Bargain. So we're very excited, Jun, because we are just massive fans of you and have been basically for your whole career.
Wow.
But we know that right now you're writing a book.
I am.
About that.
Yes, yes. It's called Diversify. It does what it says on the tin. and it looks at the social, moral and economic benefits of diversity.
And what are they?
They're really good. Okay.
I haven't got it in front of me.
Well, the moral argument, I think we all know, yeah. In that, you know, it's sort of inherently unhuman to distance yourself from the other. But yet we've been all conditioned to do that, yeah. You know, which is why what you guys are doing here is so amazing, because this is the future, really, isn't it? Mm-hmm. People coming together, different backgrounds, bringing different people to have conversations. So that's the moral. Economic, it's, and Emma, you will understand this, it's just about business. You know, it is good for business. It's good for the economy. It's good for the bottom line. So, you know, it's not altruistic. It's just smart business to have everybody who can contribute to the best of their ability. And then social, I just think it's more fun. Don't you think?
It is more fun.
It is. Who only wants to be with people that just remind you of you?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not that interesting. You know, everything else. So, yeah. So that's it.
How did you come to write this? Because everyone's going to know you from your TV presenting work. So this is a bit of a departure.
Oh,
where did it come from?
Well, I'm 40 now.
The best of it. Yeah. We'll let these two youngsters go.
You got a way to go, ladies.
It's a good decade. High five. High five.
Well, I think these are crazy mad times that we're living in. And I think that, unfortunately, when you look at what's going on, whether it be Brexit, Trump, anything, we no longer have the luxury of ignorance anymore. Mm-hmm. We kind of have to start dealing with these issues. And these issues aren't necessarily created by us. They were inherited from our parents and the previous generations. And I think our generation and the ones coming after us can do better.
Yeah, I think so too. Yep.
See, I'd like to take it back now, June.
Oh, gosh. How far back?
So can I call you Juicy June?
Gosh, yeah. That's taking it back. I think I was 16 then.
So,
my God.
Oh, yeah. So I want to talk about being the face of youth television.
Yeah.
Because I spent a lot of my life watching you, and from, you know, Richard Blackwood all the way through. And I even called in to the show
I did.
And I used to envy all the people that could stand outside
the
and
window,
look into
the
studio.
The blocks.
So tell us about that stage of your career and you know, what was the trajectory? Because you left to go to the US at another point. So from then to the US, tell us more. I want to know everything.
We're going to go way back. It was such a fun time. So I started in radio. So if we're talking Juicy June, we're going really far back.
Yeah.
We're talking when I was 16. So I started in radio at Kiss FM. Yeah. And I was Juicy June, and I would do the gossip on the weekend. So it was great. I got to read sort of gossip mags and then be paid for just like talking about what was in Heat magazine. It was great. So started with that, then MTV with Richard Blackwood on Select. And again, that was a really fun time because MTV had just launched in the UK and Ireland, and we were just having fun, you know. It wasn't serious. Everybody came on the show, big pop star you can imagine. And we started doing all these amazing road shows, and we would be just allowed to be ourselves. Yeah. And I think that was one of the biggest blessings for me, starting somewhere like MTV, where it was okay to be me and not have to pretend to be somebody else. And I think that's what helped me through out the rest of my career. So those are great times. Yeah.
I also love how you've reinvented yourself. I certainly grew up, well, kind of, I spent a lot of my 20s, you know, Sunday was always my major hangover day. And it, there was nothing better than switching on the telly and watching you and Hollyoaks. Like, that was the highlight of my weekend.
Can I interrupt you? Do you remember, what's his face from Hollyoaks, who's now the star of American Gods?
Oh,
yeah. Wow. Like, he's like a big Hollywood star, and he was the copper in Hollywood.
Yeah, I do.
Sorry, carry on.
But what I love is that you've totally kind of, you've evolved, and you still have such a strong career now. You know, so it must be really hard for people who are kind of doing the teen culture. Like, how do you transition from that?
Yeah.
But you seem to have really done that. So how have you evolved your career?
Well, I think I've applied your philosophy, darling, of you know, multitasking and I suppose not being known for doing just one thing. And also, I think going away was probably a good thing, because I left T4 when I did it for 12 years. So I left, I think, when I was like 30 maybe, and then moved to America, and I was in America for 8 years. And I think when I came back, I was a woman, as it were. It may have been harder had I still been here. So I think being away and doing different things in the States definitely helped, and being in America for me anyway helped build my confidence more in that, you know, in the, that sort of American dream. It's that sort of can do, you know, go get her, and it's okay to be a woman and strong there, more so than here. Yeah. So I think that was good. Leaving was good. Yes.
What do you think? So you talked about kind of it's easier in the States to be a woman and to be a strong woman. Do you think that also kind of comes with age? Because particularly in the media, like, we are really, the media is bad for just booting women out.
Yeah.
Do you think we're getting past that now? Is there a bit of a kind of surge of stronger older women or not?
I think with what you guys are doing, it's so important, celebrating strong women and celebrating women with careers and opinions. So I think that's really important. I don't think we're there yet, because often, you know, I'm no Theresa May fan, don't get me wrong, like, at all. But if you look at even if you look at what happened with Diane Abbott, I think if you look at the standard that women are held to, it's very different to the standard that men are held to. And I just think we still haven't yet reconciled how we, you know, deal with strong women, overtly smart, you know, capable women. So
you have a show that, so on The Pledge, and I've noticed you've had more sort of, there are more women around the table.
Isn't it fabulous?
It's absolutely amazing. Have you had to fight to make sure or to make that happen? Because I feel like that is a transition. It would have been the other way.
I know.
Even only a few years ago, you would have been the one woman there.
Yeah.
Now, actually, it's women speaking to women, and maybe maybe Nick Ferrari.
Poor
or
Nick.
You know, maybe some other random guy. Is it Greg Dyke?
Yeah.
Maybe Greg might. Yeah,
pop in if he's allowed.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know, I have to give it to Sky News. I think Sky News actually do not get enough credit for just how progressive they are in this area. You know, if you look at the women that they have on Sky News in general, there's like great, strong, smart women. Look at Sarah Jane in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
You guys had her here?
Yes, we did. She's one of our girl gang, and we've been on Sky News.
Oh, good! So, you know, we love Sarah. And so I think the brilliant thing about John Riley, who's the boss of Sky, he's really comfortable. He's got a strong wife. Mm-hmm. So he's very comfortable around strong women. And so when they started programming the show, straight away there were more women than men on the show as panelists. And it's just been that way. And it works. Well, I mean, you know, we're rating well, so the audience like it.
Yeah, we love it.
Oh, good.
So I have to ask you one of the secrets, one of these things that I've always wanted to know. So the first time we met, you may not remember this, was at the awards that you run.
Yes, yes.
And I remember walking up the stairs and seeing you, and I was like, oh my gosh, she's so fun. And you walked up and you were like, Harriet, it's so lovely to meet you. Yeah. And I was like, how does she know my name?
Well, everyone knows your name.
No.
Don't give me credit
that's
for that.
Like, that's
give me,
nice
give me credit for someone who's like, you know, a mum from Watford. Do you know what I mean?
But you did. you knew my name, you knew the name of the woman I was with, you knew, literally knew everybody in the room, and you greeted them all personally. And I was like, this is a genius move. How do you do it, Jun Sabong? Do you just have a photographic memory? Do you have people? Is it The Devil Wears Prada? Have you got people in your ear?
Oh, my God.
Going like,
no, I'm not as rich as her. So, you know, unfortunately, I'm trying to aspire to that. No, I just really like people. Yeah. I actually really do like people, you know. Yeah. Some people don't like people, but I actually do. So a lot of people do my job and don't like people. But I actually do like people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no. And I find people interesting. You're always going to learn something from someone else. But don't give me credit for you. Give me credit for somebody who's completely unknown.
So. Thank you. That's, see, this is how good she is. I'm like, yeah, that's true. I shouldn't have given her that.
Jun, what's been one of like your career highlights? You've done some incredible stuff over the years. So tell us, like, is there one moment in particular that you go, yeah, that was a really amazing day?
Yeah. Other than having you on my podcast, darling,
sweetheart, of course, anytime. The NatWest Women in Business.
Boom, boom, boom. I think definitely hosting Nelson Mandela's 90th birthday party, which was amazing. And also it was a kind of last big public appearance of his where he was still healthy and strong. Mm. And so, you know, the speech he gave was amazing. And what was so special about that night also was I think it was one of Amy Winehouse's last gigs.
Oh, wow.
And I remember, you know, all day she'd been in rehab and we were not sure if she was going to turn up. You know, we didn't know. But obviously because it was Mandela, she pulled out the stops and she was amazing and she'd cleaned up and it looked like there was going to be a turnaround. It was like, it was beautiful. Her performance was fantastic. So it was just magical and everybody flew in, you know, from Oprah to Will Smith to you name it. Everyone flew in around the world to celebrate him. So it's quite special to have been part of that. So yeah.
That was incredible story.
Mm. And what do you think could top that in your career going forward?
Well, I'm really excited about the conversations around the book. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I'm so passionate about this issue and this area. So to be able to hopefully, you know, ignite some difficult but necessary conversations.
And remind us, what's the book called again and when is it out?
Oh, sorry, Diversify. And it's out on HQ HarperCollins October 19th.
Yay. Yes. We'll look forward to it. So Jun is going to stay with us for our badass balls ups, which are coming up next. We're going to be answering your problems. And I actually think, because we've got Jun with us this week, we might be better than we usually are. So that is coming up next. And then, of course, we have our backdated badass, a woman from history you really need to know about.
Badass Women's Hour with Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell and Emma Sexton on Talk Radio.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Got you talking.
Welcome Welcome to the Badass Women's Hour. Three women, 1 hour, all the opinions we can muster and a whole load of badass here on Talk Radio. I'm Harriet Minter and I'm joined by my co-hosts Emma Sexton and Natalie Campbell. And this week we also have the fabulous June Sarpong in the studio. And it's that time of the week for our Badass Balls Ups, where we talk about your problems and try and help you solve them using our combined over 100 years of wisdom and experience. It's actually over 100. If you listen to this, you'll know I say nearly 100. We're well over.
I love it.
But our first problem is actually a caller. So we have Rebecca on the line. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi there.
Hi. So tell us, what can we help you with?
So I was made redundant last week, along with a few other people in my company. And the industry found out really quickly, and we've had some really positive conversations about permanent opportunities.
Great.
But I've decided I'd like to go out on my own. So I'd just like some advice around how do I navigate those interesting conversations, and how do I keep my options open, and when I'm thinking this is getting a little bit scary, how do I resist temptation to go back to full-time employment?
Oh, great question. Emma, do you want to tell us? What do you think?
Well, I think she's got an amazing opportunity here, right, Rebecca? You know, you've been made redundant. You've probably got a few months' pay. If you're gonna test the water in terms of going out by yourself, then now seems like the perfect opportunity, because that hurdle to quit your job and start is, I know for me, it took me years to get to that point. But equally, I'd be like, there's clearly a real demand for your skills. And I'd be having conversations with them about possibly doing some consultancy with them or a couple of days a week, because, you know, these could be really interesting. These could be the new clients for your new business or your freelance career.
June, how do you develop, or how do you keep the faith when you're freelancing, you're constantly looking for the next piece of work? How do you keep the faith that it's going to come in?
That's a great question. I think networking. I think it's really good to make sure that you keep yourself out there rather than sort of being at home sitting around waiting for the phone. So go out and make those opportunities. And like Emma said, you know, the people who've sort of shown interest to possibly hire you full time actually could become clients. So I would go out, network, and let it be known that you're setting up on your own and you're sort of open for business.
Yeah. Nat, did you have that moment when you started where you were like, oh, do I go permanent? Do I take a permanent job? Because you've, How have you resisted taking the salary?
So I think the key things here, Rebecca, are ask yourself the question, why do you want to go freelance? Because freelancing is really appealing in the summer. But actually in January and February, when it's dark working alone and you're potentially, you don't know where the next piece of work is coming from, it's not the greatest thing in the world. So really dig deep and think, what is this? Everyone's laughing, but I'm giving you
true. Right. We're laughing because it's so true.
So, you know, think, why do you want to do this? Is it a long-term career thing, or is it that you just need 6 months or a year out? So ask yourself that question. What role does this play within your career? Mm. And then I would start to have conversations. So what are they offering you in terms of permanent work? What could the offers be in terms of contract work? If you just want something different career-wise, maybe you can negotiate working 3 days a week or 4 days a week and still be in employment. What is it that you fundamentally want from life right now? That's the better question, and then make the decision
That's
from there.
That's a really good question.
Oh,
yeah.
All the big questions. What do you fundamentally want from life right now?
Existential crisis to occur.
Rebecca, I hope that's been helpful and given you some food for thought.
That's been great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck. Yeah, absolutely. So Nat, our second question, you've got it this week. What is it?
So the second question comes from Jamie, and she says that she's at work and there are lots of scenarios where her boss comes in and is just really stressed. Mm. And the stress energy of her boss filters down into the team, and she doesn't know what to do about it. So it's making her stressed. Everyone else in the office is stressed. They all end up talking about how stressed the boss is, and she doesn't like it, but she doesn't necessarily know what to do.
I love June's face on this. June's like, oh, oh no. No, not having that.
That's a tough one.
What do you do, Emma?
Emma, what do you do with the negative energy when you're surrounded by it?
And it's your boss. Not just negative energy. Yeah. It's coming from somebody who's in charge of you.
Yeah. Well, I would just like to say, being a kind of, well, a boss, is that when you're running your own business, sometimes you have days where you feel really, really anxious and you don't mean to be stressed, but you actually can't help it. And you know why you're stressed? You're stressed because you employ people and you care about them. Yes. And if the business is not going very well, you are stressing about their livelihood. So my bit would be, can you just have a bit of sympathy with what else might be going on in their lives? And also, it's about learning to not let other people's energy affect you. Like, that's the biggest life skill, right? It's to go, okay, this person's anxious, I'm just going to deflect this and not let it, because you can't control what other people are doing. So the sooner you learn that, the better. So I'd be, as a boss who sometimes has some really tough days, can they perhaps just
there's research that shows that women perceive negative energy coming from a boss to be about them. So if your boss comes in and they show that they're stressed, you perceive that that stress is to do with you, versus thinking actually that might be because they've just had an altercation before they came into the office, or they're thinking about payroll this month. And I think that's the thing that we need to disconnect. We make it that actually I'm doing something wrong, and maybe it's got nothing to do with you. And this is where the resilience bit comes in.
But sometimes you do just work for a stress head, right? You do just work for somebody who loves being stressed, who really enjoys it, who doesn't think it's a bad thing, and who likes taking it out on other people.
That's also true.
What do we do when you've got one of them?
Well, you probably need a new job, right? Because that's just not the right culture fit for you. So if you don't thrive on that, and it's starting to, you know, just opt out, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, final question this week. Emma, what is it?
So this is a good one. I'm asking for a friend, aren't I, Harriet? So a friend of mine said to me, I'm really thinking...
no loyalty.
A friend whose name begins with H.
Helen. My friend Helen said, I'm done with boys. I'm thinking about going on a sex sabbatical.
Wow.
Is it a good idea?
I can tell you that I've been on it for 3 days. So far, nobody's noticed.
3 days? Is that it?
Do you ever get to the point where you're just like, guys, pull yourselves together. Otherwise, I'm going to have to take a break.
I'm having a break from you. We're done. Well, I would like to be able to do that. I'm just, you know, unfortunately, I fancy men. You know? Tried to not, you know. Sex sabbatical, I think there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it depends how long it's for. I mean, if it's for a lifetime, probably not a good idea. But, you know, 6 months, even a year. I have a friend who did it for a year and a half and sort of went on a yoga retreat, kind of finding herself thingy, which she found very therapeutic. And also, I think, you know, sex is quite a powerful emotion and you don't necessarily want to do it with any and anyone. So if there's not anyone, you know, who's sort of quality at the moment, then maybe have a sabbatical. What's the point of having bad sex?
So quality, not quantity.
And there's ways to still have sex on your own.
Exactly.
So yeah, tell her to do that, you know.
I will. When I next see her, I'll let her know.
Emma, what happened to your 90 days rule? Because you had that thing, right?
Yeah,
where you were not going to
90 days.
Have...
Do you know what? I still stand by this. I think the thing is...
What is this? Can you explain it to me?
I basically decided that the next person that I start dating, I'm not going to have any nakedness or any sex with them for 90 days. So it's really going to be, let's just hang out.
I do that anyway.
Well,
it
see,
works.
I don't.
Okay, yeah.
Or I haven't. Oh, I just feel like... I don't know. I've just dated people in the past and I find that when I get to the 3 month stage, that's when I really start to get to know them.
And see the real
But
them.
Then by then you've probably been intimate and I've just gone, oh, this isn't really what I want. So that is still my new rule. But anybody I speak to just thinks I'm mad and I'm like, well...
Have you tried it out?
See this? When she started, she said, "I still stand by this."
Yeah,
Lou was in that. I still stand by this.
Look, I'm waiting to meet somebody that I can date. I've had some luxury friend options.
Yeah,
and you know they are not going to qualify for the 90 day rule.
I get you. Yeah, I get
but
it.
When I meet someone who does, I'll let you all know. Get off my back.
And what about you two? You haven't answered.
No, so I did a sex. We spoke about this last week. I had a 2 year sex sabbatical.
2 years?
A 2 year sex sabbatical. And it was partly because I had a string of dating just really just poor quality guys. And I thought, I need a fundamental break from men and all of their
nonsense.
Rubbish. And at that time, we spoke about this, I read something that says the the when you have sex with people, their energy stays within your system.
Yes. And in Tantra, they believe it stays for 7 years.
Well, Emma clarified, and also their DNA stays within your body. Oh, so yeah. Exactly. So it was just like,
exactly.
I need to cleanse.
It's a disaster.
So Helen, or said person whose name begins with H, I would say take that sabbatical, but knowing that you need to find ways to still be sexual. And that's what I didn't do. And I became very insular and almost didn't know how to flirt or be loving.
Yes.
Because I had to close myself off to not want to attract or talk to men.
And not to give the wrong impression if you were off it.
But I just had to switch my all forms of sexual or energy and love down because...
And you're a very sexual person,
So that was my biggest learning, because when I came out of it, I found it really hard to interact with men because I was so switched off and closed for a long time.
See, I think that's such an interesting point, because sex is an energy, right? Mm-hmm. Sex is actually an energy, and how we kind of feed and look after that energy and keep it going and use it for stuff, right?
Yeah.
Not just that's how you use it.
For your work, everything.
For your work, everything. And I have a great friend of mine who does this thing where she says, you know, if you meet someone and you get along but you're not sure, you just take a minute, you close your eyes and you just ask your own vagina, do I want to have sex with this person? And you know the answer.
You know the answer.
It's true.
And also, can we tell, what's this person said name,
Helen.
Can we tell Helen, the good thing for Helen is she doesn't have to worry about, you know, bikini wax and the Brazilian for a while. It's quite cool, actually.
The upkeep is going to go way downhill, I can tell you that.
Find a man who deserves the upkeep.
So this has been our Badass Balls Up. I mean, are you following any of this advice? How's it working out for you? Do tweet us and tell us at Badass Women's Hour HR, at Badass Women's Hour. We have had the fabulous June Sabong in the studio and it's been a joy. Thank you, June. And coming up next, we have our backdated badass, a woman from history that you absolutely need to know about. And this one's DNA has done some really helpful stuff.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Badass Women's Hour with Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell and Emma Sexton. On Talk Radio. She'll get you talking.
Welcome to the Badass Women's Hour. Three women, 1 hour, all the opinions we can muster and a whole load of badass here on Talk Radio. I'm Harriet Minter and I'm joined by my co-hosts Natalie Campbell and Emma Sexton. And it's that time of the week where we talk about a woman from history you absolutely need to know about. Yes, it's our backdated badass. And this one has probably had a direct impact on your life. You might not know it and you might not have heard of her, but she has probably helped your health in some way. Talking about her this week is Rochelle Robertson, the host of the Vulnerable podcast. Hi, Rochelle.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. So tell us, who have you chosen as a backdated badass?
Okay, so today I've chosen Henrietta Lacks as a backdated badass, just because, like you said, she's completely transformed medicine as we know it.
So tell us a little bit about her.
Okay, so she was born in 1920 and died in 1951 from cervical cancer. And what happened was, when she was dying, they basically took the tumour out of her and noticed that the cells, instead of dying completely, they were multiplying before the doctor's eyes. And so they wanted to kind of see, like, what was it about her cells that enabled them to continuously multiply and never, ever die out, which is what normally happens. So I think the average, like, human cell has, like, a lifespan of, like, 3 days. Okay. And hers just kept on multiplying and kept on multiplying. And so with that, they were able to kind of like start working out vaccines for polio and testing them on her new cells that were being multiplied. And eventually were able to like look at measles and HIV and even, you know, identify that if cervical cancer is started by HPV and then kind of create the vaccine for HPV first as a result of that. So it's quite strange that she died from cervical cancer, and now as a result of that, so many women are able to be cured from the HPV before they set into cervical cancer. So there were so many reasons as to why she's a complete badass. And one of the biggest things is, like you said, nobody actually knows who she is. Her name was removed from all of the studies. So the cell that many medicals will be used to hearing is called HeLa cells. They're called HeLa, so H-E-L-A cells. Mm-hmm. And that's just the term that's used in medicine. Like, a lot of people do not connect that to the person. Because in 1915, when she died, they didn't have to get permission to take parts of your body, basically, to test on them. So they took the parts of her body and, you know, abbreviated her name and have been using it for years and years and years. And it's only recently when we've started to actually, like, find out about who she is.
So I think one of the reasons that they also took her cells and did this work is because she was a black woman in the US at a time when obviously black people didn't have any civil rights at all. And I think the thing that equally flags her in my mind as a woman who, even though she didn't know it is badass, is that she her cells have gone on to help create cures for so many things. Mm-hmm. But actually her life, her existence up until that point, she didn't do anything that, you know, would have been noteworthy. And it's only now in 2017 there's a documentary and Oprah's talking about her, and it's almost sort of slightly bittersweet, maybe.
I think it's definitely bittersweet. I think, it's completely bittersweet. Like I said, the whole family haven't been compensated for the use of their cells, even though, like, scientists and doctors have made millions of the vaccines that they've created. Her family, nobody's ever been compensated, and their family weren't even really informed of the fact that they were using her cells until the 1970s. Mm-hmm. Wow. And what actually started to happen was that the doctors that were using her cells in the hospital, they would go back to her house and test her children for cancer. They were saying they were testing them for cancer, but they were taking their cells to see whether they were going to duplicate in the same way. So, there's definitely a part of that was based on the fact that they were black. And there's the part of the film when I'll get onto her in a minute, actually, that Rebecca Skloot is the woman who wrote the book, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. And when she spoke to the doctors said, you know, we don't think there's any point in telling them, that they can't understand what we're doing anyway. Mm. And I think that's just an example of the attitudes that were kind of given towards African Americans at that time.
Yeah.
And so they've made a film of her life now. Do you think this is a sign that we're going to start recognising actually some people who have made huge contributions to medical science and who've been written out? Do you think it's changing?
I think, I think it's definitely changing. I think, once again, we always talk about how the internet is both bad and good. And I think the good parts of the internet is that stories like this are they're hard to ignore. I've never heard of Henrietta Lacks before I had Twitter and Instagram and things like that, where people talk about her a lot, especially in America. And as a result of that, I think it's just harder to ignore the impact that someone like her has had on medicine. As a result of the internet and the fact that we can take it into our own hands now to kind of research this a little bit more and get things like books, and Oprah can find out about it and make a movie about it and do what she normally does, showcase it to the world.
And the thing that I think is really beautiful about this, and like a beautiful piece of kind of circular life, is that she died of ovarian cancer, and now her cells are being used to help prevent ovarian cancer, which is so important.
Definitely.
Rochelle, thank you so much. Really interesting. Thank you so much for bringing Henrietta Lacks to our attention as our backdated badass for this week. If you know any other brilliant women that you think should be featured as backdated badass, do always tweet us and let us know at Badass Women's Hour, HR at Badass Women's Hour. We'll have another one next week, but you can also kind of check out some of our past ones. If you have a look on our Instagram, we post them there each week. That's at Badass Women's Hour as well. So do check out those and let us know who you think should be featured. So we're coming into the part of our show now towards the end where we try and give you a principle to live your life by the next 7 days to help you be a bit more badass. Our badass principle. Nat, what is it this week?
So the badass principle this week is stay sexy.
Ooh.
And it's a homage to Lady H. In that just because you're not having sex, it does, you can still embody and be sexy to yourself. And you can, you know, lots of things can be sexy, not just the physical form. So it's putting that out there. But equally, I have to shout out Love Island. And this is to Gabby, who felt that she was unattractive because she wasn't picked by the boys. you're sexy no matter what. It's not because a man or a woman validates you that you are sexy and attractive. It comes from within.
I think so. I mean, do you think so? Is that where it comes from?
I am actually blown away by the wise words that have come from Natalie this week. Not that you're not normally wise, but this week it's been like a bumper show of like words of wisdom. I'm sitting there going, yeah, yeah, all of that. So basically whatever Nat just said, I am with it. No, I think it's really important. And I hadn't really thought about the whole sex sabbatical thing and actually shutting down your sexiness. And I think you're really right. It's really important. It's like we've got to keep our flirt on. And like women are really sexy feminine beings, and don't let a boy choose you.
What do you do when you kind of want to feel a bit sexy and a bit proud of yourself, but there's no one around to validate that externally? What are some stuff that you use?
I try and think about the energy that I'm putting out in the world. So actually today I was like, I'm just going to be a bit more like happy, make sure that I haven't got my resting bitchy face on, put on some good tunes, put on some like nice shoes, nice dress. Yeah, dresses always make me feel a bit more like flirty. So yeah, energy, flirty, sexy energy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I love this idea of a kind of flirty, sexy energy. I'm going to take it out. I'm just going to flirt with everyone. I love
with
a good
me.
Flirt
with me.
Always flirt with you, beautiful.
Sorry, can I just say, I would like to flirt with Theo Campbell.
I wouldn't even need to change my surname.
Who's
if we
Theo
got married.
Campbell?
Love Island.
Emma, have you been watching it? And it wasn't just me and Nat on our WhatsApp
group
chatting about it.
I keep watching it, but I don't really understand what's going on. I don't understand.
So tell us, if you want to tell us how you stay sexy, then do you can tweet us at Badass Women's Hour, HR at Badass Women's Hour.
Hang on, there's only certain people I want to tweet me telling me how they stay sexy. Can we just put a caveat on
that? That's true. I mean, oh God, I just don't know what I've opened up here. Or, you know what, if you want to get in touch with any of us individually, you can find me at Harriet Minter, Nat.
At Nat D. Campbell.
Or Emma.
At Emma Sexton.
And, of course, we'll be back here next week with more views, news and opinions on the Badass Women's Hour on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Badass Women's Hour with Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell and Emma Sexton on Talk Radio. She'll get you talking.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.